Yes, we can start. I will stop complaining now. Record. Record to the cloud. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, this is the February 2nd, 2021 session of Tangerine SDR for and HamSci Personal Space Weather Station Technical Talk. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been cleaning up computer-wise, and I've been running magnetometers. I've got something I was going to tell Dave about. I'll spend some other time telling him more about it, but I am getting on the Odroid, the Nano has no problem at all. It just cranks away. But the Odroid seems to go to some point where it starts throwing I2C errors, but simply rebooting, if I stop the program and restart it, the errors are still there. But if I reboot the Odroid, it all works fine.
Got you. You're a little confusing me on the Nano and the Odroid.
So I'm running two sets of magnetometers, one on Nano.
Nano, what a Nano. Jetson Nano. NVIDIA Nano. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it has no problem with the same code and two boards, just like they're two sets of boards.
Mm-hmm.
The other set of boards on the N2 will run fine for a while. Then it starts throwing I2C errors. If I stop it and restart it, the I2C errors come back. If I stop it, reboot the Odroid, and then restart the software, it takes a day or two before the read errors. So my next experiment is I'm going to switch the outbound boards between the two machines.
Okay. That's
and see if that makes a difference.
I haven't done any testing in a long time on anything except a Pi 4.
Yes.
And so I don't really plan to anytime real soon.
This,
you've got my spare set of board.
Well, and, I tested it. This is either from version 14 or version 15. So I just wanted to tell you that I've been experimenting with it, and I'll tell you more about it later when I talk to you specifically. Okay, that's what I've been doing, and I've been doing a little programming with the my simulated radio set. So I'm still working on that, trying to get several different ways of doing things. Also got Holman's software today. And I have a question for him later about that. Okay, this is the plotting software. Anyway, next on the list, we have Nathaniel, W2NAF. Go ahead, Nathaniel.
Thank you very much, Dave. I have just been getting ready for classes, which were supposed to start today. But as you can see from the background that I took this afternoon, we have a tremendous amount of snow. And so the university has delayed classes. We still had some research meetings over Zoom. So now what I'm doing is Monday afternoons. I have like consecutive meetings from like 1 until 5 p.m. with students and postdocs and people like that looking at data and the like. So we have Veronica and I are both running great personal space weather stations at our house. And she's starting to look at that data. And then we have Dev also continuing to look at the chirp sounder data. So we're moving along with that. HamSci workshop is still in progress. I still need to contact the different people on this team to coordinate with abstracts. So I will do that within the next week or so. W2NF, back to net.
I did hear the deepest snow was in Northeast Pennsylvania.
I think that might be in my backyard, right here. It's still snowing.
So, next on the list, we have Bill, AB4EJ. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, fine business, Dave. Good evening to you. Good evening to the net. Well, I got the software that does the automatic uploading of completed grape files that push up to the box. I got that working. I had some emails back and forth with John interoperating with some updates that he made to the software for that. And I'm running a few, I'm going to run it for another day or two, make sure it works consistently. Then I'm going to document that all and send that up to him, and so that he can distribute that with the package. Nathaniel, you should have gotten an email from me just half an hour ago or two, an hour ago, whenever it was, with the final budget numbers from Dr. Atkinson for the NASA proposal. So we're moving forward with that. Those have been approved by OSP. And you consider that our subcontract proposal.
And then I replied to that and asked you a question.
Okay, we'll jump right on that tomorrow, I suppose. And then met with my student team, and they are making progress. They've got prototypes running on the central control system for profile editing, that is, for a person who is a member of the Personal Space Weather Station data collection team, and they're also now working on the ability to create a station. So being able to edit those things and all of the base machinery that goes on behind that. And so they're making progress on that. So back to Ned.
Fine business, Bill. And next on the list is Dan in for XWE. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, thank you, Dave, and good evening, everyone. Well, today was a big day in the world of amateur radio software. HamLive did an upgrade and an update, and went to a different version, and so did WSJTX. So spent a lot of the day kind of redoing the scripts. There were a couple of problems that happened with the updates. So I got those taken care of and back in business. So back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Dave, KD0EAG. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello. I guess I'm just working on some software for Hillman and Jules's experiments at this point. I don't know. I kind of ditched what I was doing, and sounds like everything else was being double teamed. So I'm just sticking to this. And that's it for me.
Okay, fine business. Next on the list, we have David in 1HAC. Go ahead, David.
Hello, all. Been puttering away on magnetometers and VLF receivers. Hope to sometime be able to compare magnetometer data. They're in two completely different file formats, so, and I'm not one to be good at parsing that kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm getting the science grade mag up so that I can at least take files, and at some point we'll have to eyeball them. And I've been playing around with things like the Red Pataya getting NAA VLF data, but ultimately I'm hoping to get something that we can record, because that's to support one of the sounding rockets I'm working on. I think that's about it for today. Back to Ned. Oh, and the snow just started here. We'll see how much we get overnight.
It is coming your way.
Yep, that it is.
Okay. Next on the list, we have Dev, KC3PVE. Go ahead, Dev.
Hello, good evening, everyone. As Nathaniel said, we were supposed to start a new semester today, but the classes got canceled. This semester, I would be guest lecturing one of the classes that Nathaniel is teaching. The syllabus has been finalized, and I think I'll be teaching the part on which I have experience, especially in the ionospheric portion of the course. And also, now, I have been sending emails for this meeting, and I use HamSci group email and the Tangerine group email, and it's looking like the Tangerine group email, that I'm not being able to send the emails. So I would appreciate anyone who knows why I'm not why possibly I'm not being able to send the group email using the Tangerine group email. I would appreciate any help on that regard. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Scotty will be the one to help you the most, although I could if Scotty can't, but we'll get to that a little later. Next on the list is Jim, K4BSE. Go ahead, Jim. Jim Farmer, are you there? His mic is showing on. Well, we'll come back to Jim if he can figure out how to talk. Next on the list, we have Gary, AF8A. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I missed a couple of weeks, but I was glad to find the recordings up on YouTube. For thanks for putting them up there so everyone can keep up to date. And that's it. Back to net.
Fine business. Next on the list is Homan. Go ahead, Homan.
Hi, good evening. So this is Homan. Nothing special to report other than I just handed in the Python code to you, Dave.
Yes.
So we can talk about it. Otherwise, yes. I'm planning to visit JennyJump sometime this week, although I'm not so sure if they can make it there because of the snow. But it'll be cleared up by the end of Wednesday or so. So I'm planning to install, replace one of the sensors that I installed. No, the communication board with the one that Scotty sent me as instructed by Jules here. So that otherwise there's nothing to report. We also have about, 18 inches of snow right now. So that's it. Back to net.
Well, fine business. Next on the list, we have James, KG4DSG. Go ahead, James.
Good evening, all. Dave, just checking in and listening. I just literally stumbled across something yesterday that I thought I'd forward if anybody's interested. There's a do-it-yourself kit to take a Raspberry Pi and turn it into a lights-out management node for a server if you want to build it yourself. It's called Pi KVM. I have no idea how it works, but it sounds interesting. With that, back to the net, and I'll post the link.
Fine business. And let's see. Okay, next should be Jay, WB8SBI. Go ahead, Jay.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Just as usual, listening in. Here in Detroit over the weekend, we got a little trace of snow, about an inch, but other than that, we're high and dry here for a change. So that's the weather report. Otherwise, still expressing an interest to get a sensor package here. What do I need to do? And who do I need to speak with to get a sensor package up here to start participating in gathering data?
That will be Nathaniel or Scotty, I think, are allocating those. So we'll have them talk to you.
Offline. Yeah. Nathaniel, can I get in touch with you tomorrow or something via email, and we'll talk about that?
Nathaniel, you're muted.
W2NAF from WB8SBI.
Yes, we can talk about that.
Okay, we're good. Thank you.
Okay. Next on the list is John in 8, OBJ.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. I got three more stations out. One went out to Cal Poly. One went out to... Let's see, Dave Schwartz in Fort Collins, and another one went out to, Gareth, yeah, K2MFF. Also got my student that's going to be helping me with the C++ code. I got him up and running this weekend as well. So four station went out. So I also have two more nodes ready to go to the South Pole. At least they're there. They're allocated. They have to be ruggedized and put in a kit and made all that kind of stuff, but I have them all there and already, or the pieces parts are there. Did a software Pi update on a lot of the stuff that's running on the grapes, and I just emailed that out about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. It creates the structure for the auto transfer protocol that Bill is working on. So once he gets me the Python code that I can put in a crontab job, the files are now showing up in the transfer directory once everybody does the update. Okay. And it seems like there was something else. Well, anyway, I'll think of it. Other than that, didn't do much this week. Back to net.
Well, very good. And next on the list is Jonathan, KC3EEY. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hi, everybody. I was able to get some information about the pinouts that I will be using for my BLF audio module. I sent all that information to Scotty so he could kind of see what pins that he has left on the FPGA that can be used. And I still have to draw up a block diagram and work on a schematic. I could probably get started on the board layout, but I want to get the schematic finalized first, of course. Other than that, I've been fairly busy with a couple things, so I didn't have much time to commit to it this week. Back to the net.
Fine business. And next on the list is Jules, K2KGJ. Go ahead, Jules.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Hello to the group. Kind of a busy week, but helping my son get ready for his maple sugaring operation mainly. Yeah. I did receive the software for the program from Hillman about the plotting, but I haven't had a chance to try it yet. And Scotty's going to send me a couple of boards that I can mod and then send to Hillman for the project he wants a student to do to make a dual unit. So that's the plus the fact we've got about 8 inches right now. We expect 10 to 12 before the storm is over. And back to net.
Well, fine business. Next on the list, we have Con Tran. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, y'all. My name is Con Tran.
Con, you're dropping out a little bit.
I'm new to ham overall. Okay. Yeah, so I'm on here because I'm interested in radio and I want to get into radio astronomy. I'm a junior at the Ohio State University here in Ohio, and I'm going to take my technician test this Saturday. And right now I have an SDR dongle. I just started it like last week. The host I'm working on is an NVIDIA TX1 Jetson. And so, I'm just on here just to try to learn as much as I can. When I saw the email this afternoon about the tangerine, it looks kind of interesting. So that's why I'm here.
So question for you. Are you in an astronomy department or are you in engineering or something?
Yeah. What is it? I'm majoring in mathematics and computer electrical engineering.
Well, that's a good background for what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, like I always liked the, you know, like astronomy, but then radio, like, you know, it's just something I always had in the back of my mind. I program all, you know, I practice programming every weekend, and yep. It's just, you know, when I found out about SDR about a month ago and how cheap it was, you know, so I just jumped on.
Well, welcome. And if you find it interesting, please keep coming back.
Oh, definitely. And if you guys ever need help coding, like, you know, I'm pretty proficient with C, C++, Python. I've done a little bit of Java. I could do JavaScript, HTML, you know.
Yeah. Well, there are plenty of jobs for somebody with those skill sets. I know.
All right.
So I can see a lot of head shaking. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, welcome.
All right, thank you.
Next on the list, we have Michael, AAAK. Go ahead, Michael. Okay. Next on the list, we have Scotty. Go ahead, Scotty.
Hey, Dave. Thanks. yeah, this week has been a little slow, but got the updated parts list for the clock module into the CAD guy to begin building parts, and he acknowledged that. So I expect any day now I'm going to hear back that we have all the big, nasty, ugly parts all built and ready to go. And John is working on reviewing that. Basically, what I went through is his parts list and I assigned real part numbers to every part. So basically picked out all the actual capacitors and the special parts, of course, he specs, but capacitors are another challenge because the schematic doesn't have any voltages on them. So you have to figure out, well, what can I use a tantalum? He wants some tantalums too, which I don't like tantalums because they tend to explode. So I substituted ceramics for them. But when you get to the big, like 470 mics, you know, you don't really want to use a ceramic there because it's like huge. And so we do have to make some concessions. And I don't like aluminum ones either. So there you go. Anyway, got all those parts picked. And the...
depending on where it is, you have to be careful because sometimes the parasitics of the tantalum are used in the circuit.
Yeah, the tantalums, I only use them as bypasses on this board. I don't use them in any.
Well, yeah, ceramics are sometimes too low resistance.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on where they are.
Although a lot of the ceramics have pretty darn low ESR.
No, they're too low. That's my point.
Too low, yeah. I know I built regular circuits that didn't work because we used the ceramic in place of the tantalum, and they depended upon the ESR of the tantalum in the circuit, and it was too low. And it so you,
right.
You have that trouble.
Be careful with the tantalums. We were banned from using them at Keithley because of the reliability is so bad.
Really, even without reverse polarity?
Even yeah, you only can run them at 85% of their rated voltage maximum, and the problem is that they short out, so you have to put a resistor in series to keep them from smoking.
Well, then that just defeats the purpose of
exactly. So you're better off the aluminum electrolytic. Don't even think about tantalums. That's a nightmare.
Well, all right.
Tantalums are good for wide temperature, and
they're good for target shooting.
Hey, you know, when we built the HPSDR boards, we had a tantalum capacitor. It must have been put on backwards. Turn the power on, boom, and the thing shoots all the way across the room, right off the board, right in front of you, all the way across the room. So that was exciting, and you couldn't even tell. I mean, the thing was—I couldn't even find the capacitor. So it was just what was left on the board. So anyway, I do have some, I owe you an email back, Jonathan. I have some other comments, but I'll wait till a session and go with that. So back to you, Dave.
Okay. Next on the list, we have Tom McDermott in 5EG. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, good evening to everybody. And not much this week, been writing a little bit of Python to try to talk to the registers that will be on the DE, and had a few conversations with Bill. Other than that, not too much. Back to the group.
Okay. I want to get back to Jim, K4BSE. Are you there now, Jim? Well, your mic muted. There
okay,
you go.
Hopefully you can hear me now.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I had a little technical difficulty before, so I dropped out of the meeting, and I found it and got back on. I'm new in the group. I've been interested, been kind of following it from afar for a while and just wanted to get a little bit closer to it. I think I met Scotty and talked to him down in Orlando last year for a while. And it was a very interesting project. I've been wanting to get involved.
Well, welcome. And I'm sure you can find some corner that suits your interests and talents.
Yeah, I'm just a stupid retired hardware design engineer, RF analog. But if I can help.
Well, Scotty can always use some help, right?
Especially in RF.
Yeah. Well, you can contact me at K4BSE at ARRL.net.
Okay, will do.
Yeah. And you might get a spam bounce the first time, but first, when I see it's from you, I'll clear it through and I'll acknowledge it.
All right. Will do. Okay.
What help are you needing as RF, Scotty?
Well, just in general, I'm not an RF guy. So when we get to RF, it's going to be.
Well, I am. So let me know.
Okay. Well, Tom is too. So Tom's did the RF board. So he's going to have his hands full debugging that.
Yes.
Actually, it'll probably debug fine. It's just getting enough infrastructure in place so that you can actually run RF through it.
Yes. Good. Well, I guess we're at the end of the list, and so we're open for open discussion. Go ahead.
So
I ask a question?
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I just, let's see, what was it, John? You're sending receivers to South Pole. What's that about?
Nathaniel is recruiting a student from Case that she might want to go down and take a couple of great Gen 1s down there and run them at the South Pole to see what we can do, maybe see what we can get. So that's as far as I've gotten.
Where are those going to go in, Nathaniel?
We're talking about putting one at Palmer, I think, and possibly one at McMurdo and Pole. And they'd be just temporary. So we'd have like Andy Gerard's engineers take them down, set them up just on a temporary basis. Probably run off of solar power and batteries.
Are these going to be for the eclipse?
Yeah, for the eclipse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And antenna, what are you going to use for antenna?
Probably an RF Pro 1B.
Okay. And
mag loop.
I hope you're not setting up right next to the station.
Hopefully not.
You know, we do have a vault at South Pole that
you
might be able to make use of.
I think we'd have to talk to the other engineers.
Speaking of the Antarctic project, currently leveraging my strong connection with a Polar Research Institute in South Korea. As you can tell, I'm South Korean, so I have a strong connection there. Leveraging the collaborationship with the Polar Research Institute in South Korea, we are trying to deploy a set of power platform with some suite of instruments along their traverse route that crosses the polar cap region. So that can be very unique sets of data coming from the polar cap. As you know, Nathaniel probably knows, you know, the importance of polar cap science, because mainly because polar cap is defined as being open in terms of magnetic field, so that you can sort of monitor the direct input from the solar wind energy. So there are a lot of interesting magnetospheric and ionospheric phenomena. So we are planning to have, say, auroral observations as well as magnetometer observations, but it could be a good spot for HF communication experiment as Nathaniel is, I mean, you guys are doing. So please stay tuned. And if you're interested, maybe we can work together to get one of the instrumentations, you know, installed there. Although right now there's no official funding opportunity, although the Korean team is very willing to install whatever we provide there, because basically we are going to get free ride there. As long as we provide instrument, they can install whatever we requested. Although we still don't have remote unmanned power platform at this moment, which we are building at this moment. So we are in the stage of establishing the scientific objectives as well as building, you know, remote power platform. So please stay tuned and let me know if you're interested. So, by the way, the logistics cost from the US side is getting really high, you know, skyrocketing. And also all the, I guess, the other reason is that the McMurdo station is being renovated, so all the resources are concentrated on those logistics. So that means, I guess, going to deep field for scientific investigation is going to be a lot less likely for the near future. So that's why we try to leverage the other collaborative relationships.
Now, I also sent something to the list about, it seems like the U.S. geoelectric magnetometer grid is up and running, and even NOAA is featuring it on their website. And I sent a link to the list on that. So interesting simulations where they show variation over time. Mm-hmm. Still, the Mid-South and Southwest are a blank.
Yeah.
Who operates those stations, or who has them?
They're Jan. She's, do you remember her company, Nathaniel?
Jen.
Jen, sorry.
Not Jen. Jen Gannon It's like Computational Something Incorporated.
Yeah, and it they added a number of new magnetometers as part of a NSF grant, and one of those is here in the town where I am, and I've been working on getting access to their raw data from the magnetometer.
You haven't heard anything about their data portal yet, have you?
No.
No, so that's... So all of
I had this, the feeling it would be in February they'd make that available to us.
Right. So that's they said it would be probably a month or so. So this is what you sent out the other day.
Yes.
A lot of this these stations have already been running for a while, right?
Yes. And this I believe includes the standard stations that we've talked about before, Fredericksburg and Boulder and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're mean, how the south and southwest area just has a gap.
I think they have a long-term goal of filling that in, but yeah.
It's funny though, I wonder what their algorithm's doing, because it's funny that it would have such sharp boundaries.
Yes.
Because that doesn't really make a lot of sense to just have such sharp boundaries for that heat map.
Yeah, I don't know. But their main goal with this project is to support the electrical industry, right. Electrical transmission industry.
Huh. Yeah, I also see they have a sharp boundary at the Canadian border, too. I guess the geomagnetic fields don't cross.
I think it's an indicator of funding source.
Yeah, just like there's no weather in Canada.
Right.
Geopolitical magnetic field.
Yes.
Geopolitical magnetic field, yes. Interesting. So,
but magnetometer stuff is becoming more and more mainstream, Homan. I had a question for you about your code. I had no problem with it, except I didn't have a moving average function, and I went and looked for some, and I found about three or four, and I couldn't tell which one was the one you used. What was the source of your moving average function?
Okay. Let me find out and then try to send it to you. I'm not so sure. I thought that just came with the Python default by default.
Well, no. I'm running 3. Were you running 2.7?
3.
I'm running 3, okay. And it threw an error on that. And the normal adding functions, it couldn't find that.
It may be just something you have to add using pip.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to find out which one Homan used, because I went on the internet and I found about 6 moving average Python functions that looked like they could be the right one.
Okay. Well, as far as I know, I did not really add anything.
Okay.
So I don't know if someone who knows more about Python, I'm merely a user.
So again, the Python file got redacted from my email.
Oh.
If you send it again with some other suffix besides .py, I could take a quick look at it.
Sure, yeah.
But I mean, I could write a moving average function, but I want to get the same numbers you get.
There's probably, there's probably one in NumPy, and there's probably one in SciPy, and there's probably one in Pandas, and
And that was really my issue, is I just wanted to get the right one, a same one you're using.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Otherwise, it seems to, I got it looking at files and stuff.
Sure. So yeah, let me dig into this and then let you know. Right now, I do not. Other than just adding this, function on top of the line, I didn't do anything. So,
okay.
Second.
So, Nathaniel, I have to ask you, on the weather report, it says that you are having freezing fog. I want to know what freezing fog is. I lived in the East and I never heard of freezing fog.
I don't know, Rachel, what's freezing fog? Apparently, Scotty.
Is that what's behind you?
Yeah. Scotty said that the weather report says that we're having freezing fog here.
It's a cloud that fights back.
Yeah, a cloud that fights back.
Is that like the Crawling Eye cloud? Remember that movie, The Crawling Eye? Did anybody ever see that one?
Come on,
it's a classic. You've got to go see that. It's this cloud sits up on this mountaintop in like in the Alps, and whenever it comes down off the mountain, people get killed.
Oh.
So there's like a creature that lives behind this cloud, and you got to go see it.
Well, it sounds like a drive-in movie.
yeah.
Well, in the Old Farmer's Almanac, they have a line in there. I forget what day it is, but it says, "Beware the pogo nip." And that's what pogo nip is. It's ice fog.
Pogo ice nip.
It can actually be damaging to your lungs.
You get it. It's like a triple point where, no, that we don't have the right pressure for that, I don't think. But
well, yeah, I know the movie, Scotty.
For all you guys in the Great White North, here you go. This is just for you. This is our weather forecast. 79 tomorrow.
Oh, I'm jealous.
So
I have to say, I actually really like this note. And Scotty, one of the people that I met when I was in Svalbard, the librarian there, she had one of my favorite philosophies that I've ever heard. She said that where she liked to live, anything south of Tromsø was just too warm for her.
Oh,
that's like at the North Pole.
I know.
Oh, yeah. No, I can relate. I got off the plane in Fairbanks, Alaska in the middle of January. It was minus 52. And I said, yes, I love that weather.
Minus 52?
Minus 52.
You can have it.
Okay, now I don't think I can figure out how to unshare my screen because I think it's on the other monitor that is off.
Well, you have somebody running on a beach.
I have a grape question for John Gibbons.
Hopefully I have some grape juice over here.
I just ran your update. And now when I log into the terminal, it says this.
Pie not found. Oh, okay.
The alias. Fash alias.
Okay, I'll have to look at that.
But it seems to be, I mean, if it's just trying to set aliases that don't exist, I guess that's okay.
But, well, the pswspf.py does not exist, but that alias, there's a problem with that. I'll have to look at it.
Bash alias. Do you want me to send this to you in an email?
No, I should be able to do it from here.
Okay, and then
I'll be doing it while I'm talking here. I'll figure it out.
Otherwise, it looks like it started up, although I guess I'm not receiving WWV very well at 10 megahertz.
10 megahertz now. No, it's gone for the day.
That freezing fog is absorbing it.
Yeah, I may have to. Maybe Veronica and I should go down to 5 megahertz so we can get more both day and night. I'll have to talk to Steve Serwin about that, and and we can make a decision together if we should stay at 10 or go down to 5.
I've been setting up other stations at 5, so.
Okay, it probably makes more sense for. Because you can probably hear 5 all times of day, and
no, 5 and 2.5 disappeared during the day here in Cleveland.
Okay, so it's too low, so it's almost you almost need like 10 during the day and 5 at night or something.
10 is kind of magic here. Sometimes you get it all day long, all night long, sometimes you don't. It's kind of a bizarre band.
So, Nathaniel, is this live for you? That signal?
Yeah, that's
you're
that's
getting a little bit at 15 and a little bit at 5.
A little bit at 15.
Yeah, can you see there's a signal there
over here? This is 1500 hertz,
right?
This is the audio band right here.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have a Kiwi that I could look at too, but right now this is what's being recorded for the FL Digi.
Well, I do see a signal at 5 and at 15 on this pan adapter.
Oh,
500 and 1500. Sorry.
Yeah, because it's at 9999.
But again, this pan adapter is just the audio.
Oh, okay.
Just the audio.
Could that just
be a reflection?
It almost looks like some sort of harmonic structure.
Yeah,
it
could be. The one down is much stronger than the one up.
Yeah, I don't. John, do you have an explanation for this like harmonic type of signal that we're seeing here in the audio band?
That's showing up about every 60 hertz. Yeah, 500, then it looks like about 620 and about 750.
But it might be some of those harmonics things, of 120 hertz.
Yeah. Some of those signals could be leakage of broadcast stations into your.
Yeah, they could be.
Yeah.
Of broadcast stations.
This is hertz, not kilohertz.
Can you click on the waterfall icon in the lower left corner right above analysis? Okay, click it once more.
Yeah. Oh, there's something in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pulse noise.
Might be power line interference of some sort.
Could it be like switching mode power supplies?
Could be.
Could be.
That's awful low frequency for switch mode power.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what you're seeing.
Wonder
if you click it twice again, you can see what's what it's doing to the spec to the FFT. I'm hot to trot on the bash code here. Hopefully, I have an answer for you soon.
Yeah.
It does look like multiples of 120 hertz.
Yeah, it does. 1,000. That's an easy problem to have.
Also, see.
Especially with snow on the power lines.
Okay, Nathan, you want to fix it in real time?
Sure, I can do that. I was going to also go down to time 10.
Are you running any LED lamps?
Yeah, there's a bunch around here.
I'll do it.
There you go.
It's hard to buy other things these days. Okay, so I'm going to fix this in real time. So I'm going to go VNC and...
So the terminal window?
Terminal, yep.
Here we go. Type nano.
I'm a VI guy.
Just the same, type nano.
I don't type do VI nano. And do what it, the rest of it.
Dot D-A-S-H-R-C. And scroll down to the alias for, let's see, what line was that? Keep going down. Okay. The on line 136, get rid of the spaces between the on either side of the equal sign.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Save it and exit out. Exit, hit an X, return, and I'll open up again. The problem should go away.
Perfect.
Operator error. You need to hire some better people here, Nathan.
People who know how to type.
An update to the update.
He's going
to
cut your pay if you're not careful.
Oh, no.
Cut your pay in half.
Only half, not quarters. Just half.
He's being generous. It's early February yet.
If you get this, decimate it.
If you do good, you get double.
Ooh.
And then triple if you do really good.
Who's sharing the kiwi?
I am. So this kiwi is right next to the grape.
Yeah, the 9.999 is my carrier frequency, so yeah.
Yeah. So that's leaking right into my kiwi there.
I'm not surprised considering it's open.
Yeah.
My radio is not in a box, so it's a concept prototype that got pushed a little too far.
But I'm not seeing how far apart are these tick marks here? I mean, otherwise the waterfall.
What, a kilohertz apart? I mean 100 hertz?
Maybe. I don't see what the upper limit is on this thing. Well, okay, so there's
1 kilohertz.
Yeah, kilohertz.
So they're 100 hertz apart.
And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's 100 at 10.0001 or at 100 hertz, one tick above it, you should be seeing the 1 hertz baud rate data coming through if you're actually seeing it. So
yeah, good coming point. Through. That must just be a 10 megahertz oscillator in the room.
That's entirely possible.
I can switch off the antenna for a minute. So now the
those birdies are still there.
Yep.
Looks like snow. You got an elephant in your backyard. Maybe that's your problem.
Maybe.
If snow's his problem, he's got a big problem.
Do you have your red Pitai on?
I do.
Doesn't it have a 10 megahertz reference in it?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's under 25 megahertz.
It's 25? Okay.
125.
Oh, 125.
Yeah, it's way up there.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what that 10 megahertz reference is. I have... Oh, you know what? I know it's a 10 megahertz reference. I have an Edis USRP N200.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
PSDO sitting on the other side of this thing.
That's it. Yep. And it takes 10 megahertz into it.
Yeah.
I think it's if got, you turn that one off, you this signal go away.
Yeah, I could do that, but
try 4.9 try 5 megahertz right now.
Okay. I don't want to disturb what the USRP is doing. It's well, been
check it sometime when you aren't using it.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Coming in like gangbusters.
Yeah, there's the data.
And there's
okay, who can decode that 100 hertz data there?
Well, there's a zero, there's a one, there's a zero, there's a zero, lots of one, zero, 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 zero.
It's like copying slow scan television.
Yeah. You just finished the 600 hertz a minute, now you just
now it's back at 500 hertz.
Yep. And there's
the I one can hear it quite well here in New Hampshire too.
The 2.5 should be coming in as well.
Yes, it is. That doesn't sound like WWV.
No. It's my county com receiver. You can't see it because it doesn't move. I was going to see if
your
I
could Zoom cloaking it. Device.
Okay, come on. The trouble with this is that the display or the printing on this thing is so small that no normal mortal can read it.
Scotty, I think I owe you a pinout usage of the Raspberry Pi that I currently am utilizing.
That would be awesome.
Okay, I will do that tonight or tomorrow morning. That'll be my number one priority. Now that I got my pies all shipped,
I'm all right.
Under that rock.
Cherry pie or lemon pie? Oh, raspberry pie, sorry. So I have a question for Jules. You had talked about needing some more boards, right?
Yes, correct. One of the two boards, the 14 and 16?
How's that, Rev D and Rev E?
I'm sorry, Rev D and Rev E. One Rev D, one Rev E, and two of the mags.
Okay, and now the magnetometer boards, I have paired up with pairs of boards. So if I mean, I'll be happy to send them to you. I'm just going to have to buy some more of them because.
Okay. Well, actually, I was going to suggest that not to cut into Heilman's stock, but if he's got enough boards, all I'm going to need is one Rev D and one Rev E board itself.
Okay. If I send you those, I could send you one mag board and still keep my 2-to-1 ratio here. But
okay.
If you need it, I'm happy to send it to you, but I just want to make sure you need it because If you take that one away, then I got two other boards I have to, they're unpaired. So
right, we'll just ask Hyman, do you have enough mag boards, Hyman? Hyman, do you have enough mag boards, enough of the RM3100s to make the dual?
I have two sets from Scotty, and I have one original board from Dave Witten.
Okay, so, do you have an unused RM3100 board you can use? That's not dedicated to anything right now.
No, other than what Scotty sent me.
I sent you two of those, right, to go along with the pairs of baseboards.
So you're talking about the interface board that goes into with the Python and the sensor, right?
We're talking about the sensor board itself, the little daughter card that plugs onto the board. The P&I board that has the actual sensor on it.
I don't think I have any extra, no.
Jules, when I send you two of the boards, I'll send you one will be on one of those.
Okay, that's good. I think I have an extra one here. I believe I can send him too.
Okay, but if you need one, like I said, I got them. I'm not trying to hoard them. I'm just trying to give them out to the best possible way and not end up short one.
Yeah, so. just send me one. Just one D, one E, and one board. Okay. And one P&I.
Okay.
Great.
And that'll get you enough to build Heilman's setup?
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll mod the boards and send them to him so his student can build the unit.
Okay. And that'll be those two boards will be a complete unit with the three board sets. So.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. And the two that I sent you, Heilman, those are all three board sets. So they came with P&I boards, assuming that they work. I know we had one that was bad, one of Dave's boards that was bad. So
yeah,
that came bad from the factory. So I need to go rattle the cage and complain.
Yeah.
See if I can get a new one. Okay, good. I'll send those out tomorrow.
Thanks.